If you have been following me in this series, A Year of Increase, we've been talking about life. We started off with life at the top. We talked about how to live at the top. When I say top, I'm talking about you're not where you used to be, but God has elevated you to a different place in life. I want to be clear about this. This has nothing to do with prosperity as it has to do with personality and character development. You see, I realized something. God can't move us from one place to another place if we don't change our character. If our character is not changing, if we're not developing spiritually, you can leave the same situation. You can leave one situation and go into the next situation, but because character hasn't changed, because thinking hasn't changed, because lifestyle hasn't changed, amen, you can find yourself repeating the same mistakes. I found out something, and I told you that there are times we live like in a fish tank, you know, where a fish, when it leaves one side of the tank to go the other side of the tank, it thinks it's in the, new waters. I wish I had somebody. But it's just an illusion. And the thing about it is sometimes even our environment, the places where we live and how we live, right, things stay the same. And why do they stay the same? They stay the same because maybe our mindsets are not changing. And so we find that the top means that we haven't arrived. But what it does mean, it means that I'm not where I used to be. Anybody here can say you're not where you used to be. Amen. And to elevate is to appreciate what God has done, where he's brought you from, watch this, and the type of life that you're living now. See, here's what I want. I want a better quality of life. Amen. Anybody here want a better quality of life? Oh, I wish I had somebody. See, you can be right where you are and have a different quality of life. You don't think the way you used to think. You don't respond the way you used to respond. Amen. And I want you to know that our God had a plan for Isaac. God's plan for Isaac has always been to develop him in this journey. Even though he was the promised child, he was blessed. Isaac was blessed more than he even knew. Some of you don't really understand how blessed you really are. I'm trying to help you. Amen. You're looking at your situation right now and you can't really see it. But God is saying you're more blessed than you really think. Amen. If you only understand what God has done and is doing behind the scenes, amen, to get you to a place in life, amen, where you will see life differently. Do I have anybody today? Our God is a loving God. Anybody here know he's a loving God? Can I help you with something? When you can handle success, amen, at the top, life at the top, when you can handle success, amen, from a biblical perspective, amen, you will begin to see that God will entrust you with more. Do I have anybody? You see, I want to tell you something. I don't want the same life I used to have. Amen. I want to tell you something. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Anybody here can testify that it is Jesus that brought you this far? Come on and help me, somebody. That God has set you apart. Amen. Why did he set you apart? Why did he choose you above everybody else? Come on, help me, somebody. And so the fact that we can live at peace, amen, the fact that even in the storms of life, we find that even though they may mistreat you, even though they may talk about you, even though life may go a certain way, you understand that God is doing something in you. God is doing something through you and God is doing something for you. Do I have anybody? And so the life that God has given Isaac. Isaac was at the top, y'all. But here's the thing. He made it to the top and then he went down to the bottom. Anybody here had to restart lately? You had to, come on, help me, somebody. You had to do some readjusting. You had to do some renovation. You had to start over. And the theme in Isaac's life here at this point is he had to start over, but he didn't let his start over to cause him to become stagnated. He didn't allow his start over to, watch this, to cause him, to deter him from what God had for him. Sometimes we get caught up in the start over with the regrets. Man, why I gotta do this again? Why is this happening to me? Come on, help me, somebody. Come on, help me. Amen. Why is this happening to me, God? It could have been somebody else, but God says these lessons that you've learned, they're important for life at the top. And I say this is the most important lesson of all, because this lesson is about how to get along with people. Now, the context of this passage says that Isaac's enemies has approached him to settle the issues that they have. Now, Abimelech had a narrative. Isaac had a narrative. Abimelech said, we didn't do nothing to you. Isaac, I mean, you hate me. You put me out. Isn't that something? Isn't that what happened in arguments? One person sees it this way, the other person sees it the other way. Here's the thing, what I found out, right? You know, people always talk about blessings, blessings, blessings. Yeah, we talk blessings, 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 but it's crazy how we can't get along with people. Uh-oh, it got quiet up in here now. I'm trying to see what's really going on. Okay, so I want you to say ouch, amen, or thank you. Whichever one works for you, I'll take them, amen. So here's the thing. Now, Isaac is now coming to the point where they've met, and then now, if you look at it together with me, it's in the text, amen. They said in verse 28, we see plainly that the what? That the Lord has been with you. Imagine your enemies can see God on your life, and maybe you're not seeing it yourself. Maybe you're living too close to it. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is, they wanted to make peace with him, because they said, if God is with him, then there's a possibility that he would forgive us for what we did to him. Lord have mercy. See, what you realize is this: people expect that if you say you're a Christian, Lord have mercy. It ain't just the pastor, by the way. Yeah, you're a pastor, so you shouldn't be doing that. Well, you're a Christian, you ain't supposed to be doing that either. Come on, help me, y'all. Boy, y'all, a hard crowd today. I see what's happening. Watch this. So the point is, it's like they figure if God is with him, we can approach him. Let me ask you a question. Amen. If you have a problem with somebody, if somebody got a problem with you, can they approach you? And oftentimes what I figure out, some of us are unapproachable. And it's because we're holding on to a whole lot of stuff that we need to let go. Because here's the thing, life at the top, you can't have no attitude problem. Because you will be tried over and over and over and over again. Life as a Christian means that you have to live what you say you are. And sometimes when people approach Christians, they get something else. Do I have a witness? You see, every now and then, yeah, I know you may lose your cool. But here's the thing. What God expects us to do is to, at some point, have some self-control. Do I have anybody? I believe the most important, I believe some of us today, what's holding up your blessings is your attitude. Uh-oh. What's holding up your blessings is your character. What's holding up your blessing is your inability to forgive those who hurt you. Forgive those, watch this, who did you in. You're carrying around a grudge, and God says, you want grander things in life. You want blessings, but I can't give it to you because you won't let go. Come on, help me, somebody. And so the text tells us, if I see God has plainly blessed you, then I expect the blessings and the character to match. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I also want to see you not just in public, but privately. You can work your stuff out with individuals. See, because you can tell me all day long, I love you. Come on, help me, somebody. But last time I checked, love is an action word. And here's the other thing you need to know, right? People are not perfect. And there are going to be some people that let you down, but you got to let it go. I'm going to say it one more time. They're going to let you down, but you got to let it go. And when you learn how to let it go, God will release for you what he has already assigned to you. See, this is a different kind of message. See, people think that in order to get blessings, I got to give more. And if I give more, I'll get more. No, God says your character has to match. When you have joy, you can give. When you have no joy, you give with restrictions because you're looking for something back. But when you can let go of your people issues, oh, I learned a long time ago. I learned that holding a grudge and holding on to unforgiveness and holding on to the hurt and the pain that people had caused my life was hindering where I was going. Oh, we had a good lesson today with our young adults, and we talked about authority. And you know, it came up. Well, see, I respect people who respect me. But let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if that person is an authority, whether they're good to you or not good to you, you respect them, you submit to them, because it's the right thing to do in God's eyes. You see, what we've done, saints, we've taken the Bible and we have changed it what we want it to say. Like, for instance, I'm going to forgive, but I ain't going to forget. That's nowhere in Scripture. I'm going to say it one more time. That's nowhere in Scripture. I got 18 minutes and 23 seconds. Don't worry, I'm almost done. Watch this, watch this, watch this. It says what? The Bible says, forgive and forget. You know why I say it says that? It says, Peter asked the question, if my brother sins against me and he comes to me seven times, the Jewish law was seven. Jesus says seven times what? Y'all know the scripture, just live it. Y'all got to live it now. Seven times 70, it means like this. That if I'm holding on to a record, then I have not forgiven, nor have I not forgotten. And I'm trying to help somebody with this most important lesson about life at the top. Because when you go to the top, watch this, you are now a target. And what Satan is always after, to assassinate our character. He wants you to be like everybody else. He wants you to act like everybody else. He wants you to live like everybody else. But you don't understand what they did to me. I can't take this pressure no more. Listen, you got to learn how to let go so that you can live. And so let me show you these things. Go to verse 30 real quick. And so this is after. Look at verse 29. It said, then you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you. I already told you that's their narrative. And done to you nothing but good, and has sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord. Remember that? He wasn't announcing the blessing on him. He was saying, I recognize that you're blessed. Not just based on the wealth that he had, but based on his character and how he responded. Every time Isaac dug a well, somebody came and confiscated from him. Every time he moved from this place, somebody did him wrong. He kept moving it around. They did him wrong, he kept moving. And so as a result of that, they said, man, there's something different about this man. And they made the claim that he was blessed of the Lord. When you are blessed of the Lord, you don't say one thing with your mouth and one thing with your living. You live what you say. And I know we got freedom, and I know we got grace, but don't abuse your grace. At least 60% of the time, try to live right. Not just a few moments. I'm talking about let it match. Are you following me? Y'all with me? So let's look at these four things. Look what he says. He says, then he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. So whenever you settle an issue with someone, okay, you ready? I know you want to hold on to the offense. What did I tell you last week? Separate the issue from the person. And when you do that, the next thing you will do is this. Yeah. In other words, we can go out to eat now. This is the person that talked about you. Now you gotta watch out for people's motives, okay? So don't go doing this with everybody, because some people got bad motives. Okay? So use discernment. But life at the top means that you're not living lower than the standard that God has set. So what does that mean? We have fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship means what? We're eating together. Isaac forgot the past. He welcomed and received Abimelech. He celebrated the occasion with a ceremonial feast. In other words, they both wanted peace. Watch this. They wanted peace, yet, watch this. Some of us want peace, but we want people to leave us alone. That's not how that works. That's not how that works. He says, listen, the text says, what did they do? They made them a feast, and what? And they ate. Some of you say you forgive people, but you can't even eat with them. You can't stand them. You still can't stand them. Okay? But he says, listen, when you level up, and you elevate to another level in life, when God blesses you, you could look good, but it doesn't match. Character has to match. What's on the inside has to match the outside. Okay? And what's on the outside ought to sometimes match on the inside too. Okay? But what I'm trying to say to you is this. You could put on Gucci, Prada, or whatever you want to put on, but if it does not match on the inside, fellowship. Restore what? Your fellowship with these people. Now it says in the morning, they arose early and they exchanged what? Oats. Now listen to this. This is not honey and oats, this is oats. What this is a covenant. Somebody missed that. It went over there. They established an oath back then was something serious, not like today. People go, they stand before the pastor in the church, and they say, I do, and then 3 weeks later, they say, I don't. Okay? People come down the aisle, they join a church, right? They join the church. They say, I want to be part of this church. It's the church I want to be a part of. They come down the aisle. They make a commitment. They never come back. Okay? It's not like today. Listen, some of us go down. We sign the note, amen, at the car dealership. And then because the car broke, you feel like you don't have to pay back. That's what an oath is. And so the next thing we have to do, you ready? Is respect and expectations are established. Whenever you have a falling out with someone and you get back in fellowship with them, establish respect. We're not going to disrespect each other like this anymore. But watch this, set expectations. What was in the relationship? Why did the relationship end up like this? How did we even get here? But when you establish the first thing to go, when a person called you out your name, you didn't even think he had the capacity to call you out your name. Not as bad as he was chasing you down. Uh-oh. I'm treading heavy now. Amen. But all of a sudden, respect is gone and y'all calling each other. Yeah. Right. Stuff that we can't say in church. If you can't say it in church, don't say it at home. Once respect is gone, the relationship is over. And not only that, but set expectations. Listen, don't just speak with words. Speak with promises. I promise. I will respect you. I know we had a falling out. I know we, you know, we kind of went left field a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? But from now on, I'm going to respect you. You respect me. Can we establish that? And then here's the other thing you need to establish. You ready? Write this down somewhere. Establish boundaries. Okay? You got to set some boundaries in place. This is the line. Don't cross it. Because, see, you crossed it before, and I let you make it. Because God is good. But I had to go on with my life, and I had to continue. And here's the thing, and the reason why you can call me blessed now. See, people will come back in your life because they see that you're, oh, man. But Satan sees that too. But if you don't establish boundaries, if you don't establish expectations, come on, somebody. People will do you in again. So make sure you do that, right? Watch this, watch this. The next thing he says, and Isaac sent them away from him, what? In peace. You see that? Reality is, relationships are really restored when everyone, not just you. You're so selfish. You're like, oh, it's got to be about me. If I feel good, then guess what? Then it's good. No, well, what about the other person? Oh, boy, this must be a good one. The past is settled and restored. And when you forget the past, you can live with the person in the present. Life at the top, y'all, means that you're going to run into difficult people all the time, but you use these formulas that, okay, all right, we had a falling out, but separate the person from the issue. This is the issue. This is the person. Don't wrap the person up in the issue because you'll never settle the issue. Remove the person. God loves the person. In other words, God loves the person, he hates the sin. And so we ought to do the same thing. We ought to love the person, remove the issue, and eventually when you set expectations and you establish boundaries, watch this, then the issues won't come up again. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. And that's what happens in a lot of relationships. We don't put those perimeters in place because we think and we're so trusting that they're not going to do it again. How many made a mistake twice? How many made a mistake 3 times? How many made a mistake 10 times? All right, then. All right? And it's because stuff was not put in place. All right? Now, here we go. Here we go. Last thing, and I'm going to sit down. And look what it says after the relationship is, watch this, established. Peace is established. Things are setting place. Watch this now. See, some of you can't get over what the person did because you keep looking at the issue. Think about what the person meant to you before the issue. Oh. And think about how that person, what that person means to God. God loves that person. Yeah, he don't just love you because they wronged you. And I know you've been praying that imprecatory prayer on them. Lord, get them. Lord, take them out. Hope their car broke. Hope they lose all their money. You know, God said, I ain't doing that. But watch this. Look what he says. See, here's the thing with us is we need motives. We need motives to do this stuff. But you don't realize, some of you, I'm sharing this with you, it's because of that unforgiveness you're harboring, that's why you're not prospering. Give me the last point. The text says what? Now, it came about on the same day he said what? We have found, wait a minute. Remember, God will release your blessings when relationships are restored. I'm going to say it one more time. The same day, not next week. You didn't have to wait for it. Come on, somebody. You released your first fruit. I know you put on the back of these envelopes things you want for you. But did you put anything on the back of this envelope? Lord, help me to let go of these people who hurt me. Help me to let go and forgive so that I can be blessed, that my fruit can multiply, that life at the top means that God, when I let go of the mess, when I release, when I let go, when I establish, hallelujah to his holy name, the way you want me to establish, my blessings is coming. The water will open up. Somebody here today, remember he dug 7 wells. But this last well he came to, the Bible says when he released, when he can't be at peace with those who hurt him. Oh, do I have anybody here who want water now? I'm going to say it right now. Do you want water now? Do you want your blessings now? I'm going to say it one more time. I'm not going to tell you to run around and hop 15 times. All I'm going to tell you to do is release. Let go. Forget it. Remove it from your heart. And you will begin to see the blessings. You're going to be blessed going out. You're going to be blessed coming in. Why? Because you did it the way God said do it. Release it. Stand on his promise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. How many are blessed today? How many want to release today? How many want to let go today? This is your day. Let it go, y'all. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Just let it go, y'all. Suppose a person went to their boss and said, "Boss, you know I've been doing a sloppy job. I've been doing such a sloppy job, but because you haven't let me go, can I get a promotion? If you would promote me, I won't do such a sloppy job. So I tell you what you do, Mr. Boss. Give me a promotion, and then you'll see how I can really work. Not only would that person not receive a promotion, they won't have a job. Why? Because that's not how it works. Tell your neighbor that's not how it works. Tell your neighbor that's not how it works. Christians many times want to give God slop and ask God for blessings. Doesn't work like that. I know what they told you. Speak it in the atmosphere. Say it and God gonna do it. Oh, if you just think it, you can have it. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't work like that. Imagine this. Why would God give you $1 million and you're an angry, upset person? Imagine you're working against the currents. Because God knows you could fly off the handle in a minute. And with more resources, damage yourself. Lord have mercy. And so what he's doing is he's keeping it from you to protect you. Until you deal with your heart issue. So if you're here today,